Welcome back to the Up to the Miners podcast. I'm your host, Connor Ramsden, and with me, as always, it's the Dr. Zoidberg to my Professor Hubert Farnsworth. It's TJ Rust, everybody.
You should have started with good news, everybody.
Oh, it's a real missed opportunity.
Good news. I love when he would sometimes when he would come in and he'd go, news.
It was never good news.
No, it was never good news. But then it was even funnier when he would walk in and be like, news. You're like, we already know it's news. It's not going to be good.
Classic. All right. So this week on Up to the Miners, we are going to get through some of the free agent stuff we didn't get to last week. Because, you know, we did like a 2.5 hour podcast and still didn't get to all of it. So
that's crazy. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, we didn't even cover everything.
Yeah. So like, as far as I'm concerned, they signed too many guys, but
there was a lot of signings.
Yeah. We'll get into some of that and some of the Leafs new signings.
They weren't done.
I also just want to ask you, cause I haven't done a ton of research on this, but I've been trying to keep up with it a little bit. I guess they're aiming for January.
I think January 1st is what I've heard.
That's what you heard too? Okay.
It's January or February 1st, but like
something like that. Yeah.
Something in that area. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard the NBA is trying to get their Christmas games in. Like they, you know, because
they want to start December 1st?
Well, they always do big games. No, they're trying to start like the 25th. Like start on Christmas. Wow. It's just a rumor I heard. But then like Danny Green came out today and he was like, oh, well, if they start like that day, I bet you, you know, a lot of guys aren't going to be there for the first month. And I was like, okay, Danny Green. Well, like, I don't know if you're, I don't know if anyone's going to care if you set up the first month.
So. Yeah, no. I watched you miss that shot in, what was it, game six?
Yeah.
Game
five. Like, yeah.
No one's going to miss you. No. If that's a big time for them, then I get why they want to do it.
Yeah, and the NHL will want to start like a similar time, right? So, I don't know.
It'd be weird if they didn't.
Yeah. I'm assuming January or whatever. But anyway, should we do the Leaf stuff?
Oh, sorry. I also think conference is what's going to happen. Like, we're going to do an all-Canadian – like, I think that's how we're going to run this.
Yeah. I know that they're replacing the quarantine with, like, quick testing, apparently,
okay,
at the airports, which might make it possible for us to do – like, to make it possible for us to not have to do the Canadian conference.
Okay.
Which before we're putting off the Leaf stuff for a minute, which would you prefer? Would you want, like, a Canadian conference? I feel like it might be pretty entertaining. This country might burn to the ground.
I think there would be a lot of Canadian on Canadian crime, my favorite kind of crime. I think it would be exciting. But I also, I guess, in my like, I don't think you're going to get the best idea of who's the best because they're just playing each other. Like, I want them to go to fucking LA. I want them to have to go to Tampa. I don't want to just have them in this bubble of these six teams. I want to see them play everybody.
So I agree, but I also kind of do want them to do the Canadian division because I think the Leafs might come in first.
It's not a bad idea.
I actually think they can win it. Like, who else is Vancouver, I guess.
I was just going to say, if Vancouver stays where they're at or gets a little bit better, I think we're still the better team. But if they like blow it out of the water and Pettersson just goes off, we're fucked.
But that's probably it though, right?
I'm not worried about Montreal. The rest of these
dinguses.
I'm not scared of Montreal. I don't care about fucking Josh Anderson. I don't think we even talked about him, did we?
Oh, we did. We talked about the Josh Anderson one.
He told me about his
bad contract during the podcast.
That's right, sorry.
Ridiculous. All right, well, let's talk about these Leafs because they've actually signed some contracts since we last talked about them. And good news, everyone. The Leafs have signed Joe Thornton, like we all hoped.
Yeah, I mean, of course. If when you heard that, if you're a Leafs fan, you're like, why not? Like, as long as it's not a stupid deal. It's $700K and it's 1 year.
It's nothing.
It's exactly what
as
you would
little
take.
Amount of. He costs as much as Freddie Gauthier.
There's nothing. There's no risk. It's if he plays well, great. If not, whatever.
Yeah, and so,
I'm excited.
He wasn't that bad.
Dude, wasn't he in the finals 3 years ago?
Yeah, and he wasn't that bad last year. And like, I know San Jose was terrible, but like, he was all right.
Yeah, no, I think he could still play
for $700K. I mean, awesome. I did think it was really funny when he signed, and they asked him why he signed, and he said, "I like their goalie."
Really?
Yeah, which, like, you know, shout out Freddie Anderson. That's nice. And I'm sure they had some battles when Freddie was on the Ducks. But for me, it's really hard not to read that as, like, a big fuck you to Martin Jones. You really shit the bed on my last couple of years of San Jose Sharks hockey there, Marty.
It'd be so funny if he's like, no, I meant Jack Campbell.
No, he means Alex Dell.
Alex Dell. Oh, Aaron Dell.
He'll forever be Alex Dell on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to change it. Yeah, Alex Dell.
So, I don't know. Let's talk about Jumbo Joe for a little bit here.
Let's do it.
I'm assuming he can only play center. Like,
well, we had this talk last episode about we were trying to figure out the lineups a little bit.
Yeah.
He's in there now. Like, we know that.
He will play, and he will play center. He has to play center. He literally can't play the wing.
Exactly. So, he's going to be on the fourth line, I'm going to guess.
Or the third.
True.
It's just kind of like I'm not sure what their plan is. I've heard that they're not crazy about Kerfoot at center, which I don't know. He was fine.
I thought he was all right.
Yeah, but if they want to play him on the wing in the top six, then it'll be him. It'll be Joe on the third line center. If they don't, then it'll be him on the fourth line center. But he does have to play in the middle.
He has to. Yeah, I had heard that.
There's a requirement. He's slow. And
too big to do anything else.
Yeah, and like he's gigantic, and it's just better if he can stay in the middle of the ice, make his passes from there.
Yeah, and I heard that there was talk of him even getting a chance on the second power play.
I think he should. I think he can run a power play forever. I think Joe Thornton at 50 could still run a power play.
Right? Like I think there's definitely playing space for him.
I think it's important to remember with Joe Thornton, because like we're all talking about, you know, all these old guys who are signing contracts, and the Leafs have a few of them and all of that. But this isn't like, I don't mean any disrespect to Jason Spezza when I say this, because Jason Spezza was really, really good. But Joe Thornton is way better than Jason Spezza. And I know he's 41 years old and Spezza's younger and whatever, but like this is a different level of player. I think Joe Thornton could run a power play until he's like 100. He's possibly the best playmaker since Wayne Gretzky to play in the NHL, and that's like a legitimately true thing.
And that doesn't go away. That's like some of that stuff is hard to go away with. Like it's mental.
Yeah, he's probably, and like he won't get as many assists because he's not going to be on the top line and he can't really skate anymore and whatever, but like he is the best passer on a team that also has Mitch Marner on it.
And Nylander, who I think is sick at passing the puck.
And he's that good.
Yeah.
Like, still, as an old man, he's the best at it. He's one of the best ever to ever do it. So, I mean, I'm not worried about him.
It's not a bad ad is what you're trying to say.
I mean, look, like I think he'll start on the second power play unit. If the first power play unit's not working, they might even bump him up. Like I honestly think he's going to give a lot of value on the power play. It's the 5-on-5 that's more of a
little more concerning,
more of a worry than the power play. He's going to be dynamite on the power play. The thing with the 5-on-5 is, I mean, worst case scenario, you stick him on the fourth line.
Right. Exactly. That's right. That's where my head goes. If it doesn't go well, just stick him on the fourth line.
And I mean, like worst case scenario where he's like so bad, you literally can't play him, which I really don't think is going to happen. But if that happens, I mean, he's $700,000. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. It's done.
And also, if he's that bad, he might just retire because, like, it's Joe.
He's the kind of guy that I hope he can read the room and he's like, oh, I'm bad.
Like, I don't know. I think he's going to be I think he's a decent little lad here.
No, of course. It's not a bad thing when you bring someone like that in the lineup.
And they also re-signed Ilya Mikheyev. That's our other forward sign.
Yes, they did.
$1.645 million for 2 years.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, apparently he took slightly less than what they agreed on so that the Leafs would be cap compliant for opening night, which is
perfect.
It's pretty cool.
Thanks, buddy.
A second year, which I didn't expect. I was kind of figuring they'd only get him for the one. And, I mean, you know, he's a decent little player, and he's also not a lot of money. So we can...
No, that's not a lot of money. And, yeah, he played pretty... He was in the second line?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like before the
before the wrist thing. Yeah.
He was playing good minutes, and I thought he was all right. So yeah, why not give him a 2 year?
I think he has some extra value on this team now too, because the Leafs did get slower.
They got rid of Kapanen. They got rid of Johnsson. Like they needed someone,
and he could skate.
Yep.
And my thing with Ilya Mikheyev, and I like his game. I like him as a player. He's pretty straightforward. He's going to skate hard. He's going to get in the corner and go for the puck, and he's going to shoot a lot from everywhere. And some of them will go in sometimes.
Sure.
And that's what it's going to be. He shoots like fucking crazy. And sometimes it's annoying, but also, like, I mean, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's not the worst idea. Yeah, it's not the worst idea to get the pucks on net.
Yeah, I always feel like it. Like as long as you're hitting the net, Tyson Berry. But if you shoot the puck on the net, the worst case scenario is the goalie covers it and you have a face off on the other team's end.
Yep.
Like, you know, I don't know. I like him. I like him. We'll see if they bump Kerfoot up into the top six or if Mikheyev plays in the top six. But either way, I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, I guess if Kerfoot isn't going to play center, you're right. That creates a whole little other dynamic on where he's going to go.
So I'm assuming we're going to go, well, Hyman's going to be one of the top two lines, right?
Yeah.
I don't know which one, but he will be. Matthews, Tavares, you know, whatever, obvious. Nylander, Marner, obvious.
Obvious.
Now, I guess it's Mikheyev or Kerfoot. What do you think?
I think they would do Mikheyev first. I think would try Mikheyev, yeah.
I kind of like it. I like Kerfoot at center, so that's kind of why I like it.
I do. That's why when we started talking about Thornton, I thought fourth line, because I like Kerfoot as a third line center.
Yeah. So, yeah, probably do that. Say Mikheyev and then Kerfoot on the third line. Then I guess you got to choose some of these wingers because we got so many. Simmons, VZ, Robertson, Spezza.
Well, you know Simmons is going to play.
Simmons is going to play, for sure. Spezza is going to play, for sure.
Spezza will probably play, for sure. And then
I'd be shocked if VC doesn't play. I don't know which
one. I feel like he kind of has to.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't play, though. I'd also kind of like him with Joe Thornton, if I'm being honest. I think that might be a pairing that works.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If you're any of these wingers, you would love to be on the fourth line with Joe Thornton. You'd be like, hell yes.
You know what my just for maximum fun. You know what my maximum fun idea was?
What was that?
It's the son and his two dads. You go Nick Robertson, Spezza, Thornton.
Son and his two gay dads.
Yep, just the two gay dads and their little kid, and man, that would be nice for Nick Robertson. Two great passers.
You just got to be in the right place if you're that kid.
Yeah, they just be like, hey, and he's got a wicked shot too. They just be like, hey, kid, you're shooting all the time.
Yeah, be like, go right there.
And we're going to get you 20 goals this year. Because neither of us are going to shoot once.
No. If I see an open lane, I'm moving the puck.
All right. Well, I guess that's our forwards out of the way. Let's talk about this. We have signed Travis Dermott.
Well, we've talked a lot about him over the past couple episodes, and he's always been a person of conversation because we're like, should we trade him or should we keep him? And
looks like they're keeping him for this year anyway. They're going to play him on the right.
Yeah.
I think Dubas has made that pretty clear. This is going to be an interesting year for him because this is either going to go really well and he's going to take Justin Hall's job.
Yeah.
Or this is going to go not so well, and he's probably not going to be here next year, right?
Yeah. I think this is his do what you can with contract, and if he can't do it, I think we'll be ready to move on.
Yeah, because he's not going to be able to play his usual third-pairing lefty role, because that's going to be Mikko Lettinen, right?
I think so.
So, like, he didn't come here to not play. You know what I mean? He's not leaving the KHL where he's absolutely fucking ripping it up right now. By the way, I saw some little videos of it. He's almost a point a game. He's like just putting up numbers. So, because they're playing right now, right?
You're right. Yes, I do know that.
Yeah. So he's gonna have that spot.
Of course. Well, we talked about it last episode. If a Russian is coming over and they sign one of these deals, they're going to want to play. He's going to want to play, and it sounds like he deserves to play.
Yeah. So Dermott's going to be on the right or not playing at all. And so,
or a healthy scratch, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a bit of a competition between him and Justin Hall to see who.
And that's fine. That's the way out. It should be.
Yeah, I got no problem with that, really. I'm assuming they're going to play Zach Bogosian, because otherwise why would you sign him?
I think he is going to play. I think he is. Yeah.
If he doesn't, whatever. Like, I mean, I'm saying this just because you could technically play Hall and Dermott, but I don't see it happening, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be one or the other by the end of the year, and, you know, they can fight to the death. And
if not, they can move one of them.
Yeah, exactly. They'll fight to the death, and the loser will get traded to, I don't know, Buffalo or something.
Yay. No, not Buffalo. With Hall on there, they might win.
God, stop it. Okay, so I actually have, I dug up a hilarious bad take, and I was going to put it off, but just because you brought that up, I want to bring it up now.
Is this one of ours or somebody else's?
No, it's not one of ours. Oh, I'm not going to call out our bad takes.
I don't fucking know. You could be.
I could. No, I could. They're out there, but I would prefer to, let the people at least think we might maybe be smart.
I've said some horrible things.
Okay. So this is a great argument. I'm trying to find where it is. But basically, do you know Editor and Leaf is? It's like a Leaf's website.
Okay. Sure.
So whoever their like main dude is, I'm assuming runs their Twitter account, right?
And
he said that the Leafs have the best top three defensemen in the NHL. Riley, Muzzin, Brody.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Oh, that's the take?
That's the take.
Oh, my God.
It gets worse, but that's the take. He said they have the best top three in the NHL.
That guy is biased.
Okay, so someone replied with all the defense scores that are, like, obviously better.
Wait. Can I think of some?
Actually, oh, yeah, go ahead. Chime some off here.
I would say Tampa for sure with Hedman,
Sergachev, McDonough.
Sergachev and McDonough.
Correct. Absolutely.
Maybe even St. Louis now with
Krejko
and Falk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think that's better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Give me some more.
Okay. Nashville, Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm.
Of course.
Carolina. Dougie Hamilton, Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce. I could throw Jake Gardner, Brady Shea. They got about six guys. Colorado, Cale Makar, Devon Taves, Samuel Girard.
Yeah.
And Minnesota, Spurgeon, Brodin, and Matt Dumba.
Yeah.
So anyway, someone sent this to him, and his response was to Nashville, maybe.
This guy's just fucking trolling.
Out of his mind. He said Toronto is greater than Tampa Bay.
That's ridiculous.
I know. And then the all-time best one is he said, no, St. Louis isn't better because Hall equals Parayko.
Justin Hall.
He thinks Justin Hall is
why?
As Parayko. I have no idea.
This guy.
I had to bring it up just because, like, it's been going around and people have been like, what the fuck? Like, it's one of those things that just makes the rounds because it's so stupid.
Look, I'll be the first one to say I love the Leafs more than any other team, and I will say they're better than most teams, but I'm not that crazy.
Unbelievable, right?
It's a bad take.
Like, seriously insane.
It's a bad take. This guy's dumb.
So, I mean, in his opinion, I'm assuming that Justin Hall will stay in the lineup instead of Travis Dermott because, he is basically Colton Parayko.
It would be so funny if he gets scratched and, like, Dermott subs in. Then you're like, well, yeah, because, we would scratch Parayko. Right? Like, that makes sense, dude.
Insane. So, I don't know what's going to happen with this decor now that really, like, when I think about it, because I don't know if there's going to be an AHL season. So, like, I just...
Right.
I don't know if waivers are going to matter. I don't know, like...
It's all up for debate.
I don't know any of that. Goalie were set, right?
Yeah. Campbell and Freddie and Alex.
Yeah. Campbell, Freddie, and Alex. All right. Should we do the guys who haven't been signed yet?
The free agents? Yeah, let's go.
All right. So the obvious one that, you know, we've talked about is it's Mike Hoffman.
Yeah, and man.
It's kind of crazy he hasn't been signed yet.
I was just going to say, I find this abnormal.
Yeah, I find it pretty shocking.
The only thing, and maybe this is me being a dick, but the only thing I think that could be giving him trouble is the issues he had in Ottawa.
Right. That could be possible. It could just be like, I think it's just that teams don't have a lot of money right now. But
I know, but you can make room for that if you really want it.
I mean, you should, right?
It's right? Like, if that's your goal to get a 30-goal scorer on your team, make the room.
So I don't know if it's like because he won't take it. Cheaper deal, or if it's just the teams aren't offering it, but like you would think someone would have offered them something a little bit cheap at this point, right?
If Hall can get a one-year deal from Buffalo for that much, I feel like Hoffman could find a one-year deal somewhere.
You would think so, right? So like just looking at the projected model on The Athletic for his ability, and they say his market value is about $4 million a year. Based on like his, averages and stuff, I think he was on a little bit more than that before. But you have to understand that like COVID and teams don't have space and all of that. I mean, you would think someone
because I was just gonna say, have you heard of any rumors of any teams that are in on Hoffman? I haven't heard one.
I haven't heard any, and there's a bunch of teams who have space and can use like a guy who can put the buck in the net.
It's weird, right?
I'm going to throw one out here right now that I hope doesn't happen. What about the Boston Bruins?
They got space?
They got space. They got to re-sign Chara. They have to re-sign Jake DeBrusk, don't they? Okay, maybe not.
Do they? They don't have space.
They might not have enough. But, like, I don't know. I don't care. There's teams who could do
There's options. There are options. I'm surprised, I'm surprised Montreal wasn't in on them.
Yeah. I would take him over, probably Josh not on, Anderson. I wouldn't give him Josh Anderson's contract because that would be insane even for Mike Hoffman, but like he'd score a lot of goals in Montreal. He's a 30 goal scorer.
Right. Like
a regular 30 goal scorer.
I think either something's being held up or there's some issue that we don't know about. I don't know. It's weird. I assume he would have been picked up the first day like the rest of these guys.
Yeah, I see, like, the thing with Mike Hoffman is that he doesn't really do anything except score goals. Like, he doesn't play defense. He doesn't drive play. He's literally just – he's got an incredible shot, and he puts the puck in the net. But, like, there are teams who could use that. Like, I think of Columbus. I think of Carolina. I think of teams who, like, have the guys – to keep the puck in the other team's zone and dominate play, but have trouble turning that into goals.
Yeah. Someone,
could use Mike Hoffman, and Mike Hoffman would be great there. I don't know.
For some reason, no one's willing to do it. Or there's so many bids on the table that he's swamped and he doesn't know who to go with.
The phone's ringing off the hook. So, I'm just going to ask this cause you brought it up. I kind of didn't even think of it, but do you think teams care about the Erik Karlsson thing?
It's one of those things where I don't know. I honestly think they should. I don't think they do.
Yeah. I don't really like, I can't really see that putting teams off.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's one, but honestly, if I was running a team, it would put me off.
I'd want to talk to him and his wife, and I would need like a better answer than like, nah, we didn't do it.
Exactly.
Because if you said that, I'd be like, okay, well, like, why did they think you did it then? Like, I need the full story.
I would want the whole deets. I would want the tea. I would want them to spill the tea. but that's just the way I would do it. So, but honestly, I think these GMs aren't like that, and they don't.
I don't think they are either. Yeah. I don't know what that was all about, but like he puts a puck in the net. I'm shocked he can't get a deal.
Right. It's weird.
Mikael Granlund.
Yeah, that one, because I liked him in Minnesota. When he went to Nashville for Fiala, I was like, all right, that's a pretty good deal for Nashville, I thought, because, I don't know, I still think he had something in him.
Oh, really? See, now, that's what I think most people thought. I am the president of the Kevin Fiala fan club.
No, I like Fiala.
I thought... I thought they actually got that, because I've just been waiting. Like, I don't know. I every time I watch Kevin Fiala, I think, like, why hasn't he scored 30 goals? This guy should score 30 goals. He's fucking awesome. And then in the playoffs, he lit it up, and I was like, that's my boy. But Mikael Granlund's been better than him throughout his career.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what happened in Nashville, but...
But, like, I could see someone giving him a chance, but I don't think it's going to be a big contract.
I don't think so either, but, like, to not... Like, someone should take a flyer on him, right?
Yes, well, that's... But maybe that's what it takes. Like, maybe he thought he was going to get something, and most teams are like, we're not willing to give you that. We're willing to give you, like, 1 year, 2 million, 1 year, 1.5, and he might just be holding out for a little bit.
Yeah, so he was bad in Nashville. There's no real... No debate at that. Like, pretty much everything went down. His points went down.
His, yeah.
Like, shot assist, puck possession, everything.
Yeah.
All went down. It just didn't work. But, like, yeah. I mean, that's 1 year out of his career, and he was pretty good in Minnesota, so.
I think, yeah, I think someone is – I think someone will sign him. I'm more optimistic about that one than the – I'm not as weirded out by that one as the Hoffman.
Yeah.
I could see someone picking him up soon. Or a little later.
You would think so. You also would think that he's probably more willing to take a cheaper deal for like a year or something than Mike Hoffman might be.
Yep. So true.
Anthony Duclair.
Yeah, well, so we haven't even talked about him. He tried to negotiate his own contract.
Yeah, this was really fucking weird.
He tried to pull the Drew Doughty.
The Drew Doughty, that's right.
Would you ever want to do it yourself?
If they negotiate, like, no chance.
Not like that. Not like that.
I would never do that. That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I will give it to Drew Doughty, though. I think he nailed his.
No doubt about it. He did just fine.
He did terrific. But he has Duclair did less.
But here's the thing is, he had so much pull. Like Duclair, like, I know he's good and he put up some points, but I don't think he's got the pull.
Yeah, and I'm also shocked he wanted to leave Ottawa because it was kind of a perfect fit.
Seemed to be going well.
And he'd been a guy who'd bounced around and, like, everyone knew he was good, but he never really figured it out. And the thing with Anthony Duclair is I want to compare him to Mike Hoffman. Oh, and this article compares him to Mike Hoffman too. That's funny. But he's a guy who puts the puck in the net. He's an offensive player. He's a goal scorer, but he's also a guy who doesn't do much else.
Right.
It's kind of all he does. It's a lot like Mike Hoffman. And, like, I feel like a team like Ottawa, who's going to play him on their top line because they don't have a lot of great players in there.
Well, they got this. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have the space for him.
They're not good anyway. And he could put up a bunch of goals and then maybe, like, go searching for a big boy contract.
Do you think he still is out there negotiating his own contract? Or do you think
I would hope he hired an agent after that. But who knows,
I would hope so, too.
I don't know what he's asking for is the thing.
Well, no, I don't either. I don't know. Wasn't the offer that Ottawa gave him was like 2 something?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, like, how much? I guess he's worth more than that. But, like, is he worth, like, a lot more than that? Like,
not much.
I don't know, right? I wouldn't have minded if the Leafs
maybe the Ottawa
or something, but, like, I don't
know. Maybe the Ottawa is worth more, but I guess not because
apparently not. But I agree with you. I figured he would be, like, I figured that would be the place he could make it work.
Yeah, somewhere where that he could get some top line minutes and ask for a decent amount of money, but I guess not.
Yeah. Now, one of the guys on this list actually just signed in Calgary, and that's Josh Levo.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, so. You know, signed for a very, very cheap deal. We've seen Josh Levo play. This is another Leafs guy who can shoot.
Yeah, and he's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think he'll be okay.
I don't mind him in, I don't mind him in Calgary either. I think that's a pretty nice little move for them.
Yeah. He'll add some depth.
Yeah. I think that's kind of all you can expect from him. I don't think he can.
He's not going to play on your, like, second, third.
Yeah, I don't think he can hope for
or second,
much,
first.
But he's pretty decent.
I want. He was all right as a Leaf. I liked him as a Leaf.
Yeah, he was fine. Mike Babcock didn't, but.
Well, he didn't like anybody. Especially not Marner.
Yeah. The next guy I'm going to bring up is probably only going to sign with one team or he's going to retire, and that's Zdeno Chara, who's currently without a contract.
It is, yeah, it's weird that they haven't put him on one, but, like, maybe he's also like thinking about retiring.
Yeah, no, he's a free agent. He's not a like, I mean, obviously because he's a million years old, but it's not like he's a restricted free agent. He could sign with whoever he wants.
It's true. Yeah,
I'm assuming he'll. He probably doesn't want to like move and go play for another team or something. Like he's won cups. It's not like he needs to chase a ring or whatever.
No, no. I think it's Boston or nothing.
Yeah, probably. Right.
Probably how it's going to go.
Now, just, I mean, who knows, but if I was Kyle Dubas, I would have given him a call before I called Zach Bogosian. Not going to lie. Just like, just for shits.
Hey,
we're gonna get like a slow, mean right-handed defenseman. Why not get the slowest, meanest right-handed defenseman?
That's so funny. He just picks up. He's like, "What do you want?" It's like, "Hear us out. Hear us out. Don't hang up."
How would you like to come here and fuck up your old teammates for us? Eric Halla.
Where did he sign?
He was in Florida, but he's unsigned.
Oh, he's unsigned. Sorry. Okay, that's why, because I wasn't sure that he had signed.
He broke his leg, remember, when he was on Vegas and he was playing unbelievable.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then he snapped his leg against the Leafs, which was not awesome to watch. Not going to lie. That looked like it really hurt.
Yeah.
He straight up Dak Prescott at that thing. That looked awful.
That one was bad. That one was so bad.
But, I mean, he's a good player. He's fast. He can play center. He can play the wing. He can kill penalties. Like,
yep.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to put up goals. Like, I know he put up goals in Vegas. I don't think that's – I think that was just that Vegas magic. I don't think that's ever happening again. But, like, he's good.
That Vegas magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he's – maybe he'll find a place. I don't know. Maybe the broken leg scared people off. I don't know.
Sammy Vatanen.
That one I find weird.
That is weird, right? Like, he's good.
I thought he was good. I could be wrong, but I thought he was good.
I understand why Carolina wouldn't want to re-sign him, because they have so many defensemen.
No, I do get that.
But, like, nobody wants to re-sign him? Like, nobody wants to sign him?
It's weird, eh?
That's odd to me. Like, I don't know if they're – maybe he's asking for too much or something, but, like, I mean, God. It depends how much he wants, really, but like
it all depends on what he's asking. But I mean, I'm sure I feel like someone, if I've, again, maybe it's the COVID thing. If it was any other year, someone would have overpaid for him already.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's the kind of guy who the Leafs before Kyle Dubas would have probably overpaid for.
Give him the old Clarkson deal.
Yeah, there you go. I'm just looking at, I had to bring it up just because I mentioned, Carolina's blue line, but I think they might end up moving someone, because so they have Hamilton, Slavin, Brady Shea, Jake Gardner, Brett Pesci, Hayden Fleury, who they have to re-sign, and Joachim Ryan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these guys are making over $4 million. And yeah, they have Jake Bean in the minors, who is like a really good 22-year-old defenseman. So, like, I don't know. I feel like there's a trade there. Why not trade one of your defensemen, get some picks, and bring up Jake Bean, and then take a run at Mike Hoffman?
It's not a bad idea, dude.
I'm just throwing that out there, but, like, it would not make a lot of sense.
Hey, Carolina's the kind of team that they need just a couple extra pieces, and they'll be fine. The defense is taken care of. I think their goaltending is taken care of with Mrazek, but
only for this year.
No, true.
They're both free agents next year. But for this year, yeah, they're done.
And, yeah, I mean, add a little depth on the forwards.
Yeah, you could do some goals.
Get a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah. I think that was part of the problem against Boston in the playoffs. When Svechnikov went down, the puck stopped going in the net.
Yes.
Right? The last great act of Zdeno Chara, injuring the other team's best player in a playoff series.
So smart.
So we're going to go through these. We're going to go through the contracts that have been signed. And I'm going to start with the most recent ones just because that's where this list starts. And we'll go and, you know, we'll talk about a bunch of them. We'll skim through some of the not interesting ones until we get to the big ones. Chris Tierney re-signed in Ottawa. 2 years, $3.5 million.
That's not bad.
It's okay.
Yeah. Part of the Carlson deal.
Yeah. And he, like, you know, he can play. And they're bad. They need NHL players. So
let him play.
I like it. Sam Reinhart, $5.2 million for 1 year.
Yes, because I knew he was unsigned. I was wondering what they were going to do with him. He's not bad. He's pretty good.
He's a good player. Now, the 1 year is interesting because that seems to me like he wants to get paid. And they don't want to pay him. And I feel like he's going to either get a nice big contract or Taylor Hall's going to get a nice big contract and then they're going to ship him out.
True. It's going to be one or the other is what you're saying.
I think that they want Taylor Hall to re-sign in Buffalo. And if Taylor Hall makes it super clear that he's not doing that,
then they keep
then they'll give Sam Reinhart the big deal.
Yep. That's probably a good point. Yeah.
I'm just guessing, but like that and seems like it would make sense, right?
That is the move when you have Taylor Hall on a 1 year deal.
Oh yeah. Like that's the guy you want, right?
It's the guy you want.
It's the guy you want over almost everyone. Now Josh Levo, Travis Dermott, we've talked to these guys. Dmitry Kulikov in New Jersey is fine, I guess. It's 1 year, 1.15. I think they just needed an NHL player. He's been bad, but he's also played on the second pair in Winnipeg and stuff. And, like, I don't know. You put him on the third, he might be fine.
Okay.
I feel like he's just playing too high for himself.
Right.
Denis Gurianov, $2.5 million for 2 years to Dallas. Now, he had a big playoffs. And this is a bridge deal to take him to 25 when, you know, we'll see what he is, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, he blew up in the, like, he people started noticing him in the playoffs. So you still got to see what's there. You can't just give him a huge contract.
No, based off one playoff. I like this a lot because $2.5 million, I mean, he's probably definitely going to be that good. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's a good risk.
I figure he'll be at least that good and possibly a lot better. So what the hell?
Yep.
Jake Virtanen, $2.5 million for 2 years. Now this reminds me that one of the things I wanted to talk about on the last podcast that we didn't get to was all the Jim Benning stuff.
Okay.
This was part of it. So do you want to just do the Jim Benning stuff now? Because
give me the Jim Benning stuff.
This drove me completely insane.
I love a good Jim Benning story.
So Jake Virtanen, $2.5 million. I'm just going to scroll down to left. Or, you know what? I'll just search it. It'll be quicker. I'm going to search. What I'm searching, TJ, is Tyler Toffoli's new contract.
Ooh, fun. Okay. I think it's.
Which is $4.25 million per year. Now, that is $2 million more than what they just paid for Jake Virtanen.
True.
Now, we've talked about how Jim Benning goes around signing all these crazy-ass fourth liners to contracts. The players who are making the money that makes up that difference, we got Jay Beagle, Antoine Roussel, Sven Berchi, Michael Ferland, Tanner Pearson, Brandon Sutter, and, of course, Louis Erickson. Now, some of these things are easier to get rid of than others.
Yes.
Any of them are probably worth doing if it means you get Tyler Toffoli on your team instead of Jake Virtanen.
It is weird that they let him walk.
I just don't understand it. And there's so much nonsense with this goddamn, like.
Look, if you're Montreal, you're stoked that they let him walk and you could sign him to that number.
Yeah. But oh my God, yeah.
If you're a Canucks fan, you're looking at it and you're like, we could have done that.
It's such a good deal for Montreal.
It was right there. We could have done it.
Now, a deal I think he did really well on is getting Nate Schmidt for pretty much, what was it, like a third?
Yes.
Now, that's incredible. Because but Nate
that
Schmidt
was circumstance.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. He got lucky. They completely fell ass backwards into Nate Schmidt. Because if Alex Pietrangelo signed anywhere else except for Vegas, there wouldn't have been a free top four defenseman. So now people are going, oh, he did such a great job. He did not do a great job.
No, it was a free space.
Yeah, he completely shit the bed. And then, like, this, He just happened to like fluke his way into Nate Schmidt.
It was a free play.
It was a free play. And like, I, you know what? All the, like, good for you. He's awesome. Yes. But like,
don't act like you're a genius.
Holy shit, is that lucky? Like, just admit that you got incredibly lucky. And this Jake Virtanen deal, I'm just not a fan. I don't know why he got $2.5 million. That seems a bit much, but whatever. It is what it is.
I mean, he was all right.
He's fine. He's not great, but like, he scores goals sometimes.
And that guy shotguns milk every time, or what was the thing?
Dude, the guy who shotgunned the milk is awesome. I don't know who that guy is, but shout out to the Vancouver Canucks fan who shotguns milk. That guy's amazing.
It's a service. Vodka milk. The vodka milk. That's the vodka it's a service. Milk,
that was incredible.
It's a true service.
Connor Brown, $3.6 million a year for 3 years. What do you think about that?
It's pretty, in my opinion, it's high, but I guess if Buffalo or if Ottawa is willing to pay it, let them.
Dude, it's very high.
It's a little much.
I think about like, okay, like if we're being realistic about Connor Brown, who is a player I think both of us liked when he was on the Leafs.
Yeah, because he was cheap and he did what he needed to do.
Yeah, he's like a third, fourth liner, right?
Yeah,
it's too much money.
Oh, fuck yeah.
The reason he put up the good numbers that got him this deal is because everyone on Ottawa was terrible, so he played like a million minutes.
He got a lot of time.
First unit power play time and shit. And like, I don't think there's any other team in the NHL where Connor Brown gets that many minutes and is on the first power play unit.
No, it's a bad sign. It's a bad sign if he is.
Yeah, which like, and so they're going to be bad again. So I would actually be fine with this deal if it wasn't so long.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is a little longer than
if it was 1 year, whatever, right? But 3 years.
You gotta hit the cap floor, like if you're Ottawa. So you're signing guys to little more lucrative deals, but you don't have to, what's with the term?
Yeah, that's my issue with it exactly, is they Jim Benning'd it. Like it's fine. It's fine if you're bad and you want to pay Antoine Roussel $3 million. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just don't do it for 3 years, because in 3 years he might not be bad and you might be like, damn it, why am I paying this fucking fourth liner $3 million? And this is exactly what Ottawa's just done here.
Exactly.
This is fine. But if Ottawa's good in 3 years, they're gonna be really pissed that they did this.
It's gonna be a bad it's gonna be one of those contracts that you're looking at and you're looking at and you're like, God damn it, we shouldn't have signed it.
Exactly. Let's see. Matt Grizzlick, 3.6875. That is a weird contract number for 4 years in Boston. He's pretty good. I actually kind of like Grizzlick.
I don't know much about him, but I mean, I think he played a lot last year for them, right?
Yeah.
So I think he's. Yeah. Look, Boston loves their guys, man. Boston loves their guys.
They do. They'll
keep them. Except for Torrey Krug, who they fucking booted out of town. I was so surprised by that. I was like, wow, you guys really were like, see ya.
Yeah, we'll get to Torrey Krug, but that is kind of nuts. That was
wild.
The next guy we have on here, you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy to see him.
Let me hear it.
It's Cody Ceci, $1.25 million.
Oh, dude, remember when I called this?
The Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, remember when I called this?
I do remember when you called this.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I called that.
I also knew you were going to be happy to see it because it means he's not on the Leafs.
Well, yes. And when I saw that.
You've been saying this whole time, please don't sign Cody Ceci. Well.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, man. So I felt bad because someone still signed him.
Yeah. Now, this is not nearly as damaging as the trading for Mike Matheson, trading Patrick Hornquist for Mike Matheson, his horrendous contract.
Yeah.
But, this is okay. Like, it's $1.25 million for 1 year. It doesn't matter. But, like, also, why did you do this?
I don't get why you signed him.
Yeah. Like, you could have got better guys for that $1.25 million. And I just don't understand.
Well, and it's weird that they bought out Jack Johnson and then they were like, and now we're going to add Cody Ceci. It's like, well,
they have to have at least two bad defensemen on the team at all times. So, you know, Jack Johnson went out. So you got to bring in Mike Matheson and Cody Ceci. You know,
I don't get it.
You got to make sure you have, I don't know. I'm also going to say that, Pittsburgh fired their assistant GM, I think today, maybe yesterday.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about this.
Just fired him. And
get out.
And that might be a good thing for that guy's career.
Well, you're going to be unless it'd be funny if it'd be funny if now they start making great trades.
No, but now when he goes for job interviews, he could be like, dude, that I kept they traded for Mike Matheson. I said that's bullshit. They signed Cody Ceci. I said that's bullshit. And then they fired me. So,
You're sitting across the table from an owner and you're like grabbing by the collar. You're like, they made me do it. I didn't want to sign Ceci.
I had to sign Jack Johnson. Do you know what that does to a person?
Look at me in the eyes.
Wild. Like, I don't know. That might be nice for him, honestly.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew Mangiapane, 2.4 for 2 years to Calgary. He's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at his numbers, and they're actually a lot better than I thought they were.
How did he do last season?
I don't have, like, points, but his this is mostly, like, advanced stats on this thing, but I'm going to look up the points because, like, I remember him being pretty good, and let's see here. Oh, my God. I hate that HockeyDB. I can't see the whole thing immediately. 32 in 68 games, 17 goals.
All right.
It's not bad, right? That's like 40.
17 goals. Yeah, 17 goals isn't bad.
It's like 40, and he's only 24, too.
Yeah, all right. What was
it? Could be like a 20-goal guy.
Was it a 2-year deal?
Yeah, and he's been playing on last season was the first year he got into the top six, too.
Yeah, no, man. 2 years, give him a shot.
Why not, right?
17 goals, you can get that to 20 pretty easily.
So let's see what we got here. Oh, Tony D'Angelo.
The MVP of the league.
Mr. Trump. $4.8 million for 2 years.
Mr. Trump, what?
Tony D'Angelo, he's the big Trump guy.
Oh, I thought, remember we did the bit about him being the MVP vote?
I do remember that bit.
He's a Trump
Our
guy.
Old friend. He, by the way, never got a response from that dude.
Oh, we never got a response from...
I sent him an email. He didn't answer.
From Jade McCabe? Or,
yeah.
Oh, man.
He fucking big-timed us, dude.
Wow. All right.
At least give us a no. Come on.
Yeah, don't ghost us.
He probably got a bunch of those, I'm not gonna lie.
I bet so many people wanted to talk to him. Like, we want to know what was going through your head, dude.
Honestly. Anyway, league MVP Tony D'Angelo, 24-year-old defenseman, entirely offensive defenseman. Like, he makes Morgan Riley look good defensively, but like, he can put the puck in the net and he's great on the power play. So this is probably actually a pretty good contract, I would say.
Yeah, no.
I like it.
I think he's a big part of the Rangers, too, so they need him.
Yeah, he's a good player. Alexander Georgiev, 2 years, 2.4. So he's going to be their 1B for the next couple of years with...
Shawarma.
I didn't want to say it. that's pretty cool. I like that.
No, I like that, too. I think that's smart. I mean, you need another guy there.
They've got two good goalies.
Because Shawarma's so young, you want a decent backup, 1A, 1B.
And Georgiev's only 24. So, like, you know, he goes out, has a couple good seasons. Might end up being a starter on a team. I think Freddie Anderson came to the Leafs at 26, right?
Yes.
Like, that could be the exact same kind of thing, where he was 1A, 1B with Miller, Gibson. And then he was 1A, 1B with Gibson after that. And then, you know, the Leafs took him in as their number one goalie because he did so well there. It could be a very similar kind of situation, right?
And it was the smartest thing they've ever done.
It's one of them for sure. I think that might be Lou's best move. Honestly,
I can't think of any other.
But it might be the best thing Lou did as Leafs GM. So there you go.
Except draft Matthews.
Yeah, well, that was a fucking layup. But yeah, Evgeny Dodonov. $5 million
right
a year
to Ottawa.
For 3 years to Ottawa. This is all right, actually.
Yeah, no, I knew he was a good player, and because he took a while to get signed, so I was like, weird.
Yeah, he was sitting around too. Him and Hoffman both.
And then when he went to Ottawa, I was like, wow.
I like it though. I mean, they got the space. He's good.
Look, Ottawa's doing some interesting things with getting Murray and Dodonov. And I mean, I know they're all, look, these contracts are all wacky. I'll be honest. The numbers and the length are somewhat wacky. It does seem to be like they're super gluing something together.
I don't think this one, like, I don't think this is like a bargain. No, but I think this is like perfect.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Like, I think he's worth $5 million. And then I think in 3 years is when Ottawa's going to have to pay some of these guys. And, you know, Eugene's cheap. They're probably not going to want to have him around after that. So
give him
it's kind of perfect.
The 3 years is a good number for Eugene, I think.
Yeah. Now, this is a really good contract, which annoys me because, you know, we made fun of the Josh Anderson contract a lot. But this Brandon Gallagher deal, $6.5 million for 6 years, is...
It's pretty good. It's
pretty damn good. And it almost makes up for how stupid the Josh Anderson deal is. And this is basically Mark Mercevin. I mean, we talked about it when they got Josh Anderson. We said, you know, he's really good and really bad at the same time. And it averages out to like kind of okay. And that's...
It is weird how he's pulling that off. And he continues to pull that off. Because you think eventually he'd be like, I'm going to stop making bad moves and only make good
moves. You would think, right? Or just go full, like, God, what's his name? Peter Chiarelli.
But no, he seems to be perfect. He's got a perfect record of doing something stupid and then doing something smart.
Exactly. And this is yet another example. Brendan Gallagher is a really good player. He's a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah,
probably would have got there this year too if the season didn't get cut off. He's got really good advanced numbers all the time, like every single year. He's one of the best guys.
He's big for Montreal. They fucking love him.
Oh, and like who wouldn't, man? I would love to have Brandon Gallagher on any for that team deal? That I had. Yeah, that for deal? That deal especially. But like, he's just a likable guy. I've never seen like, I don't know. There's no other Brandon Gallagher's. Like, how many super tiny power forwards are there in the NHL?
There are. No, so true.
He's the only guy like that. I don't know. I it's a good deal. And so is this Tyler Toffoli deal.
Tyler Toffoli deal, another good deal by him.
$4.25 million for 4 years. This is well done by the same guy who forgot to spend all his money like last year. Didn't he have like $10 million in unused cap space?
Yeah. Yeah. I think now he's making up for it.
Yeah, this year's going out and getting, you know, two really good contracts and also Josh Anderson.
And Jake Allen.
Oh my God. I forgot about Jake Allen.
See it's all going to balance out, Bramston.
Well, there you go. I think that's almost all of the ones we wanted to talk about. Obviously, there's one big one left, unless I'm missing someone else. So let's talk about Torey Krug.
Sure, let's do it.
He's really good.
He is really good.
I don't
know
if you were expecting more than that from me there. But
No, you're right. He is very good.
7 years, $6.5 million.
It's funny how they... You know, Petrangelo out, Krug in.
Yeah, now I don't love that part of it, but
kind of weird, eh?
I think the part of it that I actually have the problem with is Justin Falk.
Well, they traded for him, so they can't get rid of him.
No, I know, but like, why did you do that? Because he's making the same amount of money as Torey Krug for the same amount of years.
Yeah.
And if you had Petrangelo, Krug, and Colton Parayko. Now, I mean, even that idiot whose bad take we read earlier, I don't think even that guy could deny that that's a better top three than the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't know.
Might be the best one of the NHL.
He might find a way to do it.
Well, I mean, Justin Hall is Colton Parayko.
Exactly. Exactly, right?
But what a crazy, like, they could have been incredible.
They could have been, yeah, no, it's... It almost seems like they're trying to patch it together because he left, but in my head they caused him to leave.
Yeah, they gave his money away.
Right, like it's as simple as that. Like I don't get what they're trying to spin it as, but by signing Krug so quickly after it did make it seem like they're trying to be like, oh, we're just trying to fix it. Like we had the money,
yeah.
We had the money. We just wanted to we wanted to give it to him, but he wanted more. Like, look, we got the money. We're not cheap.
That's exactly what it looked like. I don't know. I like Krug. I think he's going to be good there. I don't think he's going to be as good as Alex Pietrangelo, but
no.
But hey, I mean, look, if you're going to lose Alex Pietrangelo, getting Torey Krug helps.
Yes. Yep. It softens the blow.
For sure. Now, I'm sure there's a bunch of other guys we haven't talked about, but we're going to take a break. And I'm thinking during this, to be determined how long this offseason is, I think we'll go through all the NHL teams and their new rosters. And anybody we've missed, we'll talk about when we do that, right? Like, I know.
Oh, right. When we get through the rosters. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, some of these guys, like, I'm like, there's Justin Schultz to Washington and stuff like that. That's, like, interesting to talk about. But I think it's more interesting if we talk about it with Washington as a whole, just because they've kind of completely remade their defense. And it's kind of interesting to look at it that way, right? So,
and their goaltending has been shaken up a little bit.
Wow. Yeah. So we'll take a look at that in that kind of context later. Right before we take this break, I have a crazy stat of the week for you.
Give me a crazy stat.
So in the entire history of the NHL, only 5 players have scored 120 even strength goals in their first 280 career games. Those players are Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Brett Hull, Eric Lindros, and Austin Matthews.
I knew it. Thank God it's him.
Not a bad list to be on, eh?
No. I love when he is on, like, some of these high-scoring lists. Like, I saw the NHL Instagram put up, like, Austin Matthews' first game, and they were like, is this the debut, like, the best debut we've ever seen? I'm like, yeah, probably.
Dude, 4 goals?
And they still lost! I know, don't even crazy. Get me started. That's don't crazy. Even get me started. They lost, these fucking people. God.
Oh, man. I don't know. I see stuff like that, and it gives me hope.
Yeah. Let's hope they don't waste it.
That's hope. All right. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. I got a whole jumble of things here.
Great.
Thank you for listening to Up to the Minors. It means a lot to TJ and myself that people might be enjoying something we have so much fun making. We know if you're listening, you're a popular person with lots of friends, so please spread the word to anyone you think might enjoy the show. Thanks again. And we're back. And, man, I almost, just so you know, we do this too much. I almost just went, and it's time for, like, but no, it's not. We're going to talk about, some other sports stuff for a bit. I think we're going to start with UFC 254, which was on the weekend. It was Khabib versus Justin Gaethje. And, now, how much of this did you see? Just the main event, I'm sure, but
just the main event. Yes. Yeah. I saw the chokehold.
Right. Now, I just gotta take my hat off to Khabib Nurmagomedov. That was, I mean, as expected, incredible. And he retired after the fight, 29-0, hung up the gloves just like his dad always wanted. And now I just want to give a little bit of credit, context, all of that. Justin Gaethje is one of my favorite fighters. I'll be honest, I never thought he was going to be this good. I never thought he was going to make it to a title fight. Justin Gaethje was like a special treat for people who watch a lot of this sport, because you wouldn't have known about him unless you watch a ton of this, because he was fighting in World Series of Fighting, which is now called PFL, which is basically like one of the minor leagues. And he was the champion there.
The minor leagues are the UFCs?
Yeah, kind of. Like, they're not actually related, but, like, it's more of a minor promotion, right?
Sure.
He was their champion, and he was undefeated, I want to say, like, 17-0, something like that. And his fights were amazing. Like, just, he had no regard whatsoever for his own health and safety, and would just, like, absolutely throw the fuck down. And all of his fights are incredible. They're, like, him getting hurt badly and coming back and winning. He has... huge power. Like, he hits incredibly hard. And his fights were awesome. Came to the UFC, beat Michael Johnson in a fight of the year. Lost Eddie Alvarez in a fight of the year. Lost to Dustin Poirier in one of the best fights of the year. And then won his next fight. Then won his next two fights by, like, brutal first-round knockout. And then destroyed Tony Ferguson to get the title shot. I never thought he'd go on a run like this. I'm not even that upset that he lost, like, because I always loved the guy. I never thought he'd be this good, so I'm fine with it. And he went out, and you know what? He put it on him. He landed some big shots on Khabib. He fucked up his leg, for sure. You could see in when he got taken down for the final time before he got choked out. It was actually Khabib's leg buckled from getting leg kicked. And he managed to follow through and get the takedown. But, like, his leg was fucked up. And I don't know. He went for it. But once Khabib gets it on the ground, it's over. And that's...
Well, I watched that guy wrestle a bear on YouTube. I watched that guy wrestle a bear on YouTube once. So I wouldn't mess with him.
Now, you saw the finish, right?
Yes.
That was kind of hilarious because he was tapping on Khabib's face. And I think the ref thought he was, like...
trying to slap him. Yeah.
Because he tapped like a whole bunch and the ref just let him keep getting choked. And then when he finally stopped it, Gaethje was out cold. And I was like, okay, well, like, that one's on you, dude. He tapped like a million times.
Definitely on the, the ref should have stepped in.
But hey, 29-0, hell of a career. His dad, we talked about this earlier off the camera, but his dad did die from the COVID. And,
It was COVID, was it?
Yeah, he went into a coma and the whole thing.
Oh, jeez.
And his dad is one of the best coaches in like the history of this sport. Built a bunch of fighters from the ground up, including his own son, who obviously went on a ridiculous undefeated run. And him and his dad are apparently like super close, they're best friends, the whole thing. So, and he, you know, it makes sense that he didn't want to fight anymore. Now that his dad's passed away.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if that was such a big part of it, then I get why you'd want to not do it anymore.
And also his dad always wanted him to retire undefeated. His dad always wanted him to retire 30-0.
Oh.
He's retiring 29-0, but like he's, you know.
Well,
he's saying like, I just don't want to do the last, like, I told my mom I wouldn't fight anymore. My dad's dead. Like, I don't want to do another one. So fair enough to him. Fair. One of the greatest ever in the history of the sport.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember those McGregor fights, at least the one where everybody jumped in and beat the shit out of each other.
Jumped into the crowd, yeah.
It was awesome.
Well, so he said, McGregor's cool. Fighting Dustin Poirier next in a rematch of a big fight they had back in the day. And the rumor was the winner was going to get a title shot. And Khabib said after the fight, he's like, look, like, I could hang around and fight whoever wins that. But he's like, I choked both those guys out already. Like, what am I doing? And I was like, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, totally fair.
So that's that. The other big fight on this card was Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier. Robert Whittaker, the former middleweight champion. He got knocked out by Adesanya. He won his last fight, but he didn't look great. He didn't look like he had his whole game back together. He looked incredible in this fight, and they're probably going to be doing a rematch. And I'm excited to see it. He looked fantastic. He looked like he got his confidence back. He had like his jab going. He broke the other guy's eye pretty early with a head kick. And, you know, I mean, once the other guy can't see, it gets a lot easier.
That's why I always say I go for the eye gouging.
Yeah, yeah. You like to go for eyes and the groin if you can.
And the groin area. I fight dirty. I fight dirty.
And who can blame you?
Nobody. I'm not a trained UFC fighter.
But, great fights. Really cool moment, I guess. It's hard to come out of it feeling excited, I guess. just because of retirement. Well,
I get that. Yes. No, I understand that. That is a, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, like we watched something awesome happen, but it was a sign of the end.
Yeah. The one fight I think he would come back for is he's always wanted to fight George St. Pierre. Really? And I think that ship has probably sailed because George
isn't George St. Pierre old and retired, or is he still fighting?
But he's also kind of said, like, yeah, I'd come back and fight Khabib. He's always kind of wanted that one too. But
that's hilarious.
They could never put it together for a lot of reasons. And now it just seems like it's not. Like, Khabib wouldn't do that without his dad there and coach.
No, it already seems like, it already seems like it was an issue.
So I think that ship sailed, and I think that's probably a wrap on both their careers. I mean, GSP was always kind of retired. He was already kind of retired, but there was always like this chance he might come back just for Khabib.
Okay.
So that's probably a wrap on that too. So
the ship has sailed.
Yep. That's all over.
The French ship has never mind. What's sailed in French?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you paid attention in French class.
I did. My French isn't that bad. I don't take a lot of boats in Quebec.
there's water.
There is. I have been on a boat in Quebec.
Oh, okay. Well, now you have no excuse.
I went whale watching.
Really?
They have whales in the St. Lawrence.
Oh, yes. What's whale in French?
Come on. Don't do this to me.
I know. Hey, I never paid attention. I never took it.
I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about let's at least give a shout out to a sport neither of us watch and talk about it briefly. Baseball. The World Series is happening.
Yeah, that is the time where, like, even if I'm not following, it's shoved in my face.
Yeah, and, like, I don't watch much baseball, but, like, I'll watch the World Series. And I have been, and it's been pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, so now I am a little bit disappointed, though, because we were so close to something incredible. Now, when the Houston Astros cheated in 2017 to win the title, the team they cheated against was the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers made the World Series. The Astros lost to Tampa Bay in Game 7 after going down 3-0 and coming all the way back to force a Game 7, and they lost. Now, if they had completed that comeback and gone into the World Series for a rematch with the Dodgers, I think even you might be watching.
Yes. I would be glued to my television.
It's almost pro wrestling at that point.
Well, yeah, no, it would have to be. It would be a show.
And they had those crazy brawls earlier in the year.
Right. Well, look, I would be mad too if I found out that the team beat me was cheating.
Yeah. And it's been good too. I like it because the Dodgers hit a lot of dingers. And, like, honestly, I don't care about baseball that much, but I love a good dinger.
We love dingers on the Up to the Minors podcast. I love a good dinger.
Big dinger pod.
Give me a dinger.
Now, did you see what happened in the last game? Because that's one of the craziest, or not the last game, 2 games ago, Game 4 on Saturday.
Refresh my memory.
So maybe it's one of the craziest finishes in a baseball game ever. Tampa won 8-7. They were down 7-6, and it was the 9th inning. And I think they brought him in to pinch run earlier, but, like, he's not a good hitter. And he hit this super clutch hit out into the outfield that would have brought in the tying run, right, and sent it to overtime. Mm-hmm. What happens is the outfielder drops it.
Okay.
And so then the Tampa guy decides to go home because he thinks he's going to make it. And he eats shit and falls. And so he's obviously not going to make it. And then he tries to turn around and run back to third. But then the ball misses the Dodgers catcher, and he, like, slides home and just, like, gets his fingertips on it to win the game at the last second.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
One of the craziest things I have ever seen. We were all hanging out and doing whatever, and we had it on in the background, like, no one really paying attention. And then that happened, and we were all like, wait, what? What the fuck? What was that? Dude, the guy fell down hard.
Yeah, no, I did see that. He ate it, but, like, he did get his hand all the way stretched out.
Yeah, he made it. Oh, he made it, but God damn, did he ever fall. Like, it wasn't like a little, like, he did like a full three somersaults.
Yeah, yeah, no, he was going down for a tumble.
He looked like, you know when you're a little kid and you run too fast for your own legs and you just, like, topple over the front?
You start going forward, yeah.
Yeah, he looked like he, like, came over the handlebars on his bike or something.
That's such a good comparison. You're going too fast for your legs as a kid. You're like, holy hell.
You just start rolling. That's exactly what it looked like. God, that was great. That's, I just love craziness, and that was completely insane. Clayton Kershaw, the Dodgers, big star pitcher, he's one of the best pitchers of this modern era. He's won like 3 Cy Young awards, which is like the best pitcher award. And okay, he sucks in the playoffs, and this year he's actually been really good, and he's won 2 World Series games. And, you know, it's kind of nice, because if they win this series, he might be the MVP, and that'll be big for him.
What's it at? What's the series at?
It's at 3-2. Game 6 is tomorrow.
For the Dodgers?
For the Dodgers. They can win it tomorrow. And if they lose, Game 7 is on Wednesday.
Damn.
Yeah. But he's won two games in the World Series, and he's been really good this whole run. And, I mean, for a guy who is, like, one of the best pitchers, except for during the playoffs, where he's terrible.
Just let him run it.
Nice to see him pulling it out, eh?
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, right?
Well, it would be a nice redemption story about, like, it would be better if they played Houston, but if they win, it'd be nice to,
yeah,
it would almost balance it out a little bit.
It'd be cool anyway, but yeah, if they played Houston, that would have been special.
That would have been the nice cherry on top of it. The big fuck you, Houston.
If they win, though, like,
that's true. Tampa might come back. Who knows?
No, I mean, I meant, like, if they played Houston, what if Houston got them?
Oh, if Houston got him, then
imagine,
it'd be like 9/11. Everyone would be like, they cheated.
Dude, they'd ruin the whole thing too. Especially because Houston could then be like, see, we weren't cheating this time. We beat your asses anyway. Like,
hilarious. Hey, turns out we didn't even need to cheat.
Yeah, turns out we're just better than you. And that would have been great. So I don't know.
I'm all for it.
Sometimes when the bad guy wins, it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I love Star Wars.
Let's see. I wanted to do a little bit of football just because we gotta stretch some time a little bit here. So the Lions played the Falcons. This was one of the craziest ends to a game that I've ever seen.
Okay, talk to me, because I saw a bit about this.
You saw what happened?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Falcons are almost about, they're up by a couple, right? Or yeah. Sorry, I don't think they were. I think they were down by a couple, but like they just needed a field goal to win the game. Okay. Right? So their running back, Todd Gurley, breaks through the line. And now what the smart thing to do here, and if this is something he's actually done before, some guys don't do it because they're selfish and they like to have the touchdown. Some guys don't do it because they're kind of dumb. He's neither. He's a guy who's done this before. The smart thing to do is to go to the one and lay down.
Well, that's what he looked like he tried to do.
Right, because then what you can do is you can run down the clock to 0 and then kick a super short field goal. And you win, and that's it. The game's over. Right? Yeah. But because he scored, that meant that the Lions got the ball back, and they could go for the win.
And they did.
That's exactly what they did. They went all the way down the field and won it right at the end of the game.
Crazy.
Unbelievable. The Falcons are terrible. Unbelievably cursed.
But they're bad this year. I know that.
They're 0-6 and they fired their coach and the whole thing. But the way they've been losing these games is let me just bring this up so I have a refresher. Because they've been losing these games in crazy fashion. They lost 40-39 to the Cowboys. I think they were up by like 25 at halftime. They got a comeback dropped on them. They lost this crazy game. And, of course, the Atlanta Falcons' most famous game was when they were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl against the Patriots and got that comeback on them. So they're just cursed. Firing the coach helped, but God knows how much it helped.
I mean, not a lot, I guess.
The curse is still real. But yeah, you kind of feel for Todd Gurley because, like, he realized too late.
Yes, it was too late, and he had screwed himself and the team.
And I know you probably enjoyed this too, but one of the funniest sights in sports is the defense celebrating that the other team just scored a touchdown on them.
Yes, yes, because I saw them go, hey, yeah. And I'm like, that's the wrong team.
They're yelling at the refs going, hey, no, he scored, he scored.
Oh, no, that's a good goal, sir.
You better count that touchdown.
Put it on the board.
Let's see, what else? So I watched the Cardinals-Seahawks game last night. And okay. Cardinals won it in overtime. This was also completely batshit insane.
Really? Another one.
They were putting up wild, like, they couldn't stop. Like, neither defense could stop the other team. They were just driving down the field, scoring over and over and over again. And ended up going into overtime. And I don't know why, but the Cardinals went to kick a field goal on, like, second down.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy missed. And it was like, you could have taken two more plays to, like, move closer. And then he could, I don't know why they did that, and he missed. But then the Seahawks threw an interception back the other way.
After, oh, my God.
After scoring the touchdown to win it, that got called back for a holding penalty. They turned the ball back over, threw an interception. Arizona came back down, kicked the field goal, won it. So, they pulled that off. Football's kind of crazy right now because, for some reason, the way the divisions are set up this year, some of the divisions are incredible and have, like, several really good teams, and some of them are really bad. And, the winner of every division gets into the playoffs automatically.
Yeah.
So, like, the AFC North has the Steelers, who are 6-0, the Ravens, who are 5-1, and the Browns, who are 5-2. Right? Let me go over to the NFC here. And then the NFC West has the Seahawks, who are 5-1, the Cardinals, who are 5-2, the Rams, who are 4-2, and they're beating the Bears right now, probably going to be 5-2, and the 49ers, who are 4-3. So, like, they have four teams above 500.
Yeah.
The NFC West, one of these teams will make the playoffs automatically. The Eagles are leading the division. They have 2 wins, 4 losses, and a tie, which puts them ahead by a tie of Washington, who is 2-5, the Cowboys, who are 2-5, and the Giants, who are 1-6.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, it's not spread out evenly at all.
No. So next time you look at the NHL thing and go, God damn it, why do we keep playing the Bruins in Tampa? This is stupid. Sometimes some other sports have it even stupider.
Sometimes it's even stupider some other places. It's so true, right? Like, you start looking at the way other people do some stuff and you're like, oh, that's way dumber.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, like,
wow.
2-4-1 is currently leading the division.
Crazy.
Over so the crazy. Washington football team, a team so pointless they don't even have a team name.
Don't say.
A team that doesn't even have a name.
No.
The Dallas Cowboys, whose quarterback's leg imploded.
Oh.
And the New York Giants, who only have one good player, and he blew out his ACL in the first game of the season.
Well, there you go. Like, I was reading something on Twitter about, like, the QBs, and I'm like, I guess that's all it takes. If you hurt their QB, that's it.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
They throw in their backup. I was like, oh, yeah, I saw something about a team running their backup, and then he got hurt. I'm like, that's it.
Andy Dalton the Cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's it, smoked. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, what do we – so you've got no one else. That's your team. It's fucked.
Just boned.
It's kind of crazy, eh?
Yeah, or especially now, if your quarterback happens to get COVID, like, you might as well just forfeit the next 2 weeks.
So true.
Yeah. Like, that's a wrap.
Yeah, way to go, Belichick.
I will say, I saw a kind of touching story when I was watching some of these games. The tight end for, I want to say, Oakland, but I'm not sure. I can't remember what team he was on. Anyway, this guy played in his first NFL game, right?
Okay.
Ever, like, first career game. He's like a third stringer, and he actually got to start and play in a game because the other two tight ends got COVID. And I guess one of them got it, and they had, like, a meeting with all the players of his position there. And so all of them got it. except for him, because he wasn't there, because he was at the birth of his daughter.
Oh, man.
And so he got to start the game. And so he was like, man, she's like 3 days old, already getting me, like, getting me in the lineup.
He's like, this chick is lucky.
What a great kid, eh?
Yeah, that's be so awesome.
I know, right?
You got a new baby girl and a brand new gig.
Yep. Now you're a starter. All right. Awesome. So we'll take another break, and when we come back, Corona Corner.
The corner of Coronas.
God, I don't even know what to say. It's gotten so much worse in the last 2 weeks since we've done one of these.
It's gotten so much worse, Rashton. It's gotten so bad.
All right, so you have all that optimism to look forward to when we come back. If you enjoy the show, please do us a favor and subscribe to Up to the Miners on whichever app you use for podcasts. It would really help us out in a big way. Thank you for listening. And we're back, and it's time for Corona Corner.
Okay, I thought glad you stepped up there. Wasn't you?
I got it. Don't worry, I got it.
All right.
Well, so
I mean, the numbers are bad.
Bad fast.
The 1,000 cases bummed me out.
Crazy on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And then the 800 today was like, all right, that's better. At least it's better.
Still terrible, but you know what? It's better.
But that's the thing about raising the bar is the you know, it's higher. So you're like, 800. I mean, that was bad 2 weeks ago, but now I'm happy.
So they haven't shut stuff down where I am. Came out today and said he hasn't. They're not going to do it yet, but they're going to. It's like, it's a mess. And you know what's bullshit? And like, I'm actually really upset about this. So I went to the gym on Sunday and I was talking to the guy and I was like, hey, like, what's going to happen? He was like, dude, like, we're going to be closed tomorrow. Like, expect tomorrow us to not be open. And I was like, oh, why? And he's like, I'm just assuming. He's like, because they closed all the gyms in Peel and Toronto, right?
Yeah.
And he's like,
oh,
yeah,
I know.
He's like, yeah, so now a bunch of them are coming here and going to the gym here and spreading their fucking COVID all over the place. So, like,
it's true. I had heard that.
He's like, they're going to be shutting our place down soon. I was like, that's you fucking dicks.
Well, I mean, it's true. Yeah, no, I've heard about that happening. I've heard about people being like, some restaurants being like, we check where you live.
Yeah.
Because we don't want you coming from Toronto or Peel and being like, hey, I'm here for the chicken fingers. And they're like, get out.
Play in your own yard.
Well, but we can't.
Just disgusting.
Last weekend I was with Tasker and we went to a patio and it was like pretty cold.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the only way we could get a beer.
Sure, it was absolutely freezing.
But it was the only way we could get like a beer to sit down. Like we, you know, like this just the way you got to do it now, I guess.
Yeah.
Every place, Ramston, you walk by any bar here, any bar with a patio is starting to screw like walls together and a makeshift fucking indoor patio. That's what they're trying to do.
It's getting pretty hectic, eh? Everywhere.
Heating lamps everywhere. I mean, it's...
Well, like, you don't know how long it's going to be.
And these people want to stay open. And if that's the only way you're going to be allowed to stay open, they're willing to pour some money into these things.
I got to tell you, though, man, like... Late October is already pushing it for Canada. You got to understand, like, I appreciate the hustle, but you can put as many heaters as you want out there. There's no chance I'm going to beer outside in Canada in December. There's 0% chance.
I don't think these people, I mean, it's not cute to stand outside in Toronto when it's minus 40 and have a beer.
Let me tell you, it's going to be one cold beer, but.
Hey, well, that's what we said. We're like, because we got like really big beers and like I was like, hey, I could drink this all night because it's staying cold. Like it's not warming up.
Dude, it's bad, man. I don't even know. I don't know what to make of it. People aren't doing the things. We opened up a whole bunch of we've talked about all this. We opened up a whole bunch of really stupid stuff at the wrong times and
yeah, no, it just seems like they're not, I don't know. I mean, it's going on so long now, Ramston, that it's still not clear on what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish with all this. But I mean, Like, I'm not trying to be this guy, but I'm always like, what can we do? Just listen to what they got to say, and, you know, go for a walk, call your mom.
That's why it sucks. Like, you know, you can't do anything about it.
Yes, I think that's what people are struggling with. I think people are struggling with the fact that there's nothing you can do about it, because a lot of these people, you know, they're hustlers and bustlers, and they're like, usually I'm in control. And it's like, not this time. Not this time.
Not this time.
But yeah, man, I don't know about you, but did you check out the debates? I told you I had a debate.
I did check out the debates. I didn't have a party. I just watched them like a normal person.
Before I, you know, get in trouble with the CDC or whatever, there was six people, so there's five people. It's fine. Don't call me. Nobody. You know, one of them was my roommate, so it's okay.
Circles. Yeah,
social circles, social bubbles, it's all good. But it was funny because my buddy Sash showed up with cake.
That's not a, it's like, a weird move. Super weird move.
Well, it was funny because, like, everybody was texting, like, we were messaging in the group, and it's like, what are you bringing? And I was like, John was like, what are you bringing? I was like, I'm supposed to bring something? And I looked through the message. I looked through the message, and I'm like, Sash's like, I'll bring cake. I'm like, oh, fuck, I do have to bring something. I'm standing in the cracker aisle looking at Bits and Bytes and fucking Breton crackers. And I'm
is that
like,
what you
I
brought?
I brought Breton crackers and Bits and Bytes. But
you did your part.
I did my part. I told Sash I wanted to show up with a cake just to spite him.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Well, we got two cakes.
Well, we got two cakes. Yeah, yeah. But I wanted to be like, yo, I saw your message. That was a good idea.
I still can't believe you guys had a debate cake.
We had a debate party, dude. There was nachos. There was a dog running around. I had a couple of nudies. It was a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this one was a lot less wild than the first one.
No, this one was less wild. I did like the part, though, where they were talking about, like, healthcare and stuff. And then Trump was like, they gave me Obamacare and it sucked. And I tried to make it better, but it still sucks. And then Biden's like, we're going to get rid of Obamacare. We're going to make Biden care. And I'm like,
rebranding.
Real original, dude.
Rebrand.
Yeah, yeah. We're rebranding it.
Fucking dipshit.
No, it's a tire fire down there, I'll be honest, from what I see.
Dude, it's awful.
That's the only thing I think. That's like having that, like, you know, I think that's why chicks are friends with ugly chicks, because it's like, at least we're not that bad.
I can't argue with that. It's nice to have them there to look at and go, oh, whew. I mean, we got people burning down Native American lobster traps and shit.
Oh, my God.
So, like, I know. It's not going great here either.
It's also true. It's also true. Did you see the OPP cruiser getting attacked?
Yeah.
It's getting weird with that, too. I mean,
it's not going great.
I can't really speak on any of that because I don't know.
It's going to get worse when people start getting locked down again, I think.
It may, you know what it
people
does,
go a little crazy in the winter anyway, you know?
It makes people nuts.
Yeah, people go a little crazy in the winter anyway. You add the regular winter lockdown crazy with the COVID lockdown crazy.
Whew. At least, I was thinking about the winter last winter. At least it was nice, before COVID, obviously, like December, January. It was nice to come out of the snow and, like, go into a bar.
That's true. Now, yeah. We had a great time.
Now that's not even an option.
We were having a grand old time last January.
We were mucking it up. We were doing stuff.
Having a great time.
Stuff, some stuff we can't talk about, but.
We tried. I got to ask this. Have you seen Borat's subsequent movie film?
I have not seen it. Have you?
I have.
Is it funny?
It's amazing. It's so really? Good. It's not as good as the first one. Because,
I didn't think it would be. It's the first
impossible.
One.
Yeah, it couldn't possibly be as good as the first one, but it's really good. I don't know who the woman he got to play his daughter. I don't know who that is. She's great.
Okay.
Really funny. The whole thing is really funny.
All right. I believe it, man. I got to check it out.
This is so good. I'm not gonna spoil any of it. I can't spoil it. Like,
No, don't.
I can't spoil it. It's one of those movies where you can't ruin it for people, but I strongly recommend.
All right. All right. You know, it's the movie that I watched the other day that you were talking about a lot, V for Vendetta.
Oh, good movie.
I finally we've checked it out.
Well, you own it.
Do own it. Still streamed it on Netflix. What? Still own it. Still own it.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad. It
was good movie.
Natalie Portman, I mean, please, even with the shaved head.
She's great. I like her Star Wars stunt double better myself, but
Star Wars stunt double.
Keira Knightley.
That's her stunt double?
No, did you in one of the, I think it's like episode one, one of the Star Wars, they play like lookalikes. One of them is the queen,
yes,
and the other one plays
Yes.
More of a Keira Knightley fan, but Natalie Portman's great.
You're wrong.
I'm right. Natalie Portman's a better actress, though.
I think Natalie Portman's hotter.
Nah, this is crazy. That's insane. I want to have that on this podcast.
This is where you, everything I've said, this is where you take a stand.
Yeah, the 9/11 jokes is all good.
Yeah, no, no, I can say anything about that, but this is where you get, this is where you get upset.
You got to draw some lines, you know?
I mean, this is a good line, I guess, for you.
Fuck. No, man, I love that movie.
Yeah, no, it was a good movie. And I'm checking out the Challenger series about the Challenger space shuttle. They get blows up.
Easy fry. No, I haven't seen it. Did you see that phase? It went like... Yeah, no, I haven't seen it. It's good, eh?
It's pretty good. It's good. It just talks about it just talks about how you know, like the thing blows up. I don't know. Just watch it. Fuck. You threw me off.
I really got you, eh?
You're an asshole.
All right. Well, hopefully we you some worms in a sandwich that'll make you smarter or something.
Oh man, please.
Got anything else you want to throw in here before we call it a week?
I don't think I have anything else.
That's it? All right.
No, I'm good.
All right, sing us out, buddy.
Okay. It's Up to the Miners podcast.